We're studying the book of Acts, Greek reading and research, as we follow Paul to his journeys to Greece and to Asia Minor and then back into the land of Canaan, back into Palestine, to Jerusalem. And every place that Paul is going, he's being persecuted. He's being persecuted by the pagans, and he's been persecuted by the Jewish pagans, so to speak, also, that love ceremonies and festivals and the Bible, the Old Testament, the Mishnah, and the Talmud more than they do God. We're in Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse number 1. And Paul has been going through all kinds of turmoil. And here we come to verse number 1. Meta de to pauste ton thorubon meta noops aminos hopalos tus mathetes kai parakalesis aspasamenos exelthane peruste eis Macedonian. And it says here in verse number 1, moreover, after the uproar. The uproar of the Jews, the uproar of all of the pagans that were saying that he's going to ruin our occupations. All of these things had ceased, and it said for itself, Pausteste. And then having summoned Paul, the disciples, and the word mathetes there means what? Habitual learners. And having exhorted, and having taken leave or sent, he went forth to go to unto Macedonia. Dielthon de ta mere ekena kai parakalosas autos logo polo elthane estane Elada. And then it says, having gone through parts, these parts, and having comforted them with quite a bit of speech, a lot of words is what it says here, he came unto Greece. Now, this whole area in here is where the seven churches of Asia are now, and where Turkey is. And Greece was a large, much larger area than it is today. 20 and verse 3. Poiesos te menos, tres menogenes, epiboles, auto hipoton uedem, Melento anageste eis tain syrion agenito nomes tu hipostrepsein dia Macedonias. And now he spends 7 months. And then he falls upon a plot. Epiboles, that word there, that is a, it means upon a will. This means a plot. This means they're concentrating on one thing, that these Jews want to kill Paul. They want to kill him. Now, that's what always happens, isn't it? True religion tolerates false religion, so to speak. True religion tolerates it. But false religion, Islam, Catholicism, when they were world powers, they did not tolerate anyone else believing anything else, even a small amount diverse from what they believe. Now, Paul's about to set sail into Syria. And he finds out about this plot that the Jews are planning. And it says here that that he's got upon his mind to return unto Macedonia. That's what he'd like to do. Sine peto de auto so patros Pyrrhus Bereas Thessalonikon de Aristarchos Kai Sekadondas Kai Gaius Derbatos Kai Timotheos Asinoi De Tikitos Kai Trophimos. And there are some brothers that keep on accompanying Paul. Sopater, Pyrrhus, a Berean of Thessalonica, and Aristarchos, and Secundus, and Gaius, and Derbian, and Timothy, Asians, and Tychicus, and Trophimus. All of these brothers are following Paul. Now, these brothers are representative of churches. They are elders. Now, today, we look upon elders as a deacon or a pastor. And Paul the Apostle, when he's talking about these people, he's talking about, uses the word episkopos, and episkopos basically is a pastor. Epi and skopos means someone that watches over his flock. I try to be a good pastor and watch over my flock, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Pastors watch over their flock in many ways. They nurture them in learning. You have young Christians sometimes that they are very fragile in the beginning, and you have to nurture them along like you would a young child, trying to guard them. And the best way to guard a child of God is to preach the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Preach. I know Brother Ray Hernandez, when I left California and went into Nevada and resigned the church where I was, he kept going around looking for somebody to feed him. And here a while back, he just told me he had given up. And I said, well, you always got me. They got the website. You can go over there and get fed all you want. And I hope to keep it up and maintain it. Well, these brothers here were following Paul. And they were representatives of churches. And they were listening to Paul preach because, you know, we didn't have the New Testament yet, had we? This is the New Testament. And they're following Paul and learning the Bible and learning God's will, because they had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament yet. Now, Luke, in his letter here and his exegesis, he tells us certain sermons. Some people say that he probably took a medical shorthand and wrote down a sermon. Now, Marilyn, you used to be able to take shorthand. You still can, I imagine. Yeah. You took Greg's shorthand, and you were a secretary, and you would write down, and then you would type it out in longhand. And that's basically what, and of course, there is such a thing as inspiration also. Mm-hmm. God guided Luke as he wrote these, but many scholars from that period of time, many of the students of Luke was a doctor and a physicist, many of Luke's students took shorthand his notes as he would lecture. And as Luke listened to the Apostle Paul and others preach, he took shorthand, and then he wrote it out in longhand by also the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back and read these first four verses from the Amplified Bible. After the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples and warned and consoled and urged and encouraged them. That's what the word there, logos, means. And then he embraced them and told them farewell and set forth on his journey to Macedonia. Then after he had gone through those districts and had warned and consoled and urged and encouraged the brethren with much discourse, he came to Greece. And having spent 3 months there, when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he resolved to go back through Macedonia. Now, they were looking for him. They were probably going to try to throw him off the ship or drown him or stab him or something. Mm-hmm. We know that the Jews are always going to try to kill Paul. The Jews have been heavily persecuted all over the world, haven't they? By Hitler and in different nations in Europe. But God returned the blood upon their own heads. In all reality, when they exacted Pontius Pilate to crucify Jesus, he washed his hands before them and he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." And they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." And it has been. Now God, in his mind and his providence and his mercy, will bring Israel back into the administration of God's will, into his economy for the 1,000-year reign. But they are still at great odds with the Lord and God the Father, because they're still preaching against him and still writing against him to this very day and refusing him. There are some Jews that have been saved, and thank God for that. But as a majority, they don't believe. He was accompanied with Sopater, the son of Pyrrhus from Berea, and by the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. Trophimus basically means Troy. Troy. Our modern word, a name for this would be Troy. Right there. Okay, let's go back into the Greek now and look at that. Hutoi de proselthontes emenon himas en troadi. Moreover, these, having gone forth, they kept on remaining us in Troas. Now here is the first time Luke uses the word us. Okay? He uses the word us because he is with Paul again. Luke is with Paul again in Philippi, and Luke is now with Paul till they reach Rome. He's going to stay with Paul now. Now there are seven brothers in verse number 4. They went on ahead from Philippi to Troas, while Paul remained with Luke in Philippi. And that's what's going on, taking place around here now. They're going through an obstacle course of hate and murder. We, in America today, we see quite a controversy. It seems like in one moment, we went from a country that was tolerating each other to a country now that is trying to destroy and erase the other side. That's anti-culture, anti-conservative. The Apostle Paul here was having trouble wherever he went with people that were intolerant of his preaching. And in America, there are two basic doctrines, one conservative and one liberal. And the liberals now, on the one side, they are calling themselves socialists, but their practices are not socialism. The practices is communism. Communism does not let the other side speak. It's an anti-culture. Erase the other culture. You cannot speak. You cannot say they're wrong. You cannot say that we have a right to vote these people out. Mm-hmm. You don't have a right to believe what you believe. They want one culture, one mindset. Brethren, that is not socialism. That is communism. Paul the Apostle in his day fought religious extremism. You know, if you've heard me preach 100 messages, you know that I call a cat, and a dog, and that's it. A frog, and a flea, and a louse. That's just the way it is. I preach the Word of God. I preach the doctrines from the Bible, but I let you believe whatever you want to. If you want to be wrong and contrary with God, you have all the right to do that. But I preach the Word of God. I preach the history. I teach Western civilization, a little bit of political science. You can disagree all you want, but you can try to twist up history, but history doesn't, history is history, but history is written by the victors usually. You have to look at both sides of history when you really know what happened. Now, the Jewish idea of what happened here is this: Paul was a religious, he betrayed his people. Paul was a zealot. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He spoke Hebrew in his home. Most Jews didn't do that. They spoke Greek or Aramaic. Paul spoke Hebrew. Paul was a descendant of Saul, the first king of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. When Paul found out he was wrong, he went the other direction. He got angry when he preached because he saw heathenism and he saw his own people fighting God. And he called them out for it too. He didn't go try to cut their throats. He didn't go try to put a contract out on them. He just preached the Bible. He just preached the Word as he was inspired. But the opposing parties wanted to kill him. The heathen idolaters did, and so did the Jews. Verse number 6. Hemes de ex e pleosomen meta tas hemeras ton azumon apo Philippon, Kai, Elthomen, Pros, Autos, Ante, Troda, Alcri, Hemeron, Pente, Hopu, Dia, Tripsomen, Hemes, Epta. And it says he sailed out after the days of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, from Philippi. And he came unto them, reaching to Troas, until after 5 days, where literally he rubbed out time. That's what it says. Dia tripsomen. That means he rubbed out time. 7 days. Now, Paul was a Jew, even though he's a Christian. And Paul observed the Jewish festivals. But when Paul observed the Jewish festival, he didn't try to do it according to the Mishnah and to the Talmud, so to speak, to the traditions. He told people what these feasts meant. What do you think the Feast of Tabernacles meant? That was on the 50th day. What do you think the Feast of Tabernacles meant? Yes, right. God was dwelling with his people, but he also protected them, and they would have, in the wilderness, they would put up a kind of a lean-to temporary shelter out of what God had provided for them. And God remained with them all this time, didn't he? Now, the Feast of Tabernacles should really, when Paul would stand up and said, this is a wonderful feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. God provided for us all those 40 years in the wilderness and et cetera and et cetera. But what it really meant is Kai Ho Logo Sarxagenito, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Feast of Tabernacles right there. God tabernacled. He pitched his tent among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, Luke could have been a proselyte also. The word Luke comes from the word Lucifer. His name was actually Lucifer. Lucifer is not a bad name. We have a bad character named Lucifer, but the name is a good name. A lot of Christian boys are called Luke, but the full name is Lucifer. Now, Lucifer, or Luke, that wrote the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, could have been a proselyte, and he might have wanted to keep the feast also, but remembering what the feast actually meant. Paul was hoping to reach Pentecost by the time of the feast was there. He wanted to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, or Tabernacles. Now, Paul, in 20 and verse 7, he's making a farewell speech. And it's a long one. In de te mea ton sabbaton synagmanon himon classe arton ho paulos dielegato autois melon exene te uparion Poritinein, te ton logon, makri meso nik ton tio. And it says, during the Sabbath, in one of the Sabbaths, people were gathered together to break bread. Klasse, that means to break, and bread, arton. And Paul kept on lecturing. I remember a long time ago, probably close to 50 years ago, I was a pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and they wanted to have a New Year's service. And they wanted me to do what Paul did here. They wanted me to preach all night. Now, if you've got something to preach, you can preach all night. If your voice holds out, and if your audience holds out. Now, there were kids sitting there, and they were laying down with the little pallets and stuff on the chairs. The church house was full. Everybody was there. We had a big dinner. I had cooked spaghetti, and we had spaghetti and lasagna and salad and all kinds of good food. And they would go back and eat a snack every now and then. All night long, I started preaching. I think it was at 12 midnight, and I preached till 12 o'clock noon the next day. 12 hours. Now, I did take a break, and we had breaks in between, because I had to have a break too. I'd go off and maybe have a glass of iced tea or something, keep myself awake. And I was preaching, the message that I was preaching was the scarlet thread in the Bible. We preached the salvation from Genesis all the way through Revelation. and I showed where at each book in the Bible, we would go through the books and we would preach Christ from that book. Now, Paul did that here, except he had a fatality. I didn't have any fatalities that night. I had a lot of tired people. Some people would sit there nodding off, and some people sitting there yawning, and I'd want to yawn, and all of this. You know, this was kind of a what we might call...
A marathon?
A what?
A marathon.
A marathon, yes. This was a marathon. And I wanted to sleep for a couple of days after that, but I think I had to go right back to work. It says, and after one of the Sabbaths, and they're going to break bread, they're going to have dinner, they're all together, they're all fellowshipping. And Sunday, we had a big fellowship. We had dinner, we had the Lord's Supper, and we had dinner and the Lord's Supper both, didn't we? And that's what they did here, possibly. And on one of the Sabbaths, having been assembled to break bread, now they're having a big dinner, and it's kind of warm. And what kind of lights did they have back in these days?
Candles.
Oil lamps. And oil lamps kind of put off. And now this, Jews didn't like being in the dark. So this house is lit up, and it's in the house. It's a big house. There's a three-story house here. And people are listening up and down and everywhere. And there's a lot of heat going on because people's bodies are there, and these lamps are burning, and there's a little smoke. And it says that it's about to become tomorrow. And he kept on stretching out his sermon. A lot of times in churches, they don't want a preacher to preach over 15 or 20 minutes. Now, sometimes I preach 15 or 20 minutes, and sometimes I preach 2 hours. Marilyn, you remember when I was preaching church history there at Valley Baptist Church, and the people were all brand new in my class. I was teaching church history, and they came in there, it's like they were in a candy store. They were asking questions, and they didn't want to quit. And you went out after 2.5 hours of this going on, and you went out to the car and started honking the horn. Remember that?
Yes.
You did that, didn't you?
Yes.
You were ready to go home.
Yes.
And I kept telling these people, I'll be here next week. The Lord's willing, the creek won't cry. Doesn't dry up. I'll be here. This isn't all of it. Just this, the beginning of it. Well, that went on for several different sermons, didn't it? They were so hungry and hearing about church history. And I remember one of my students said, he said, you know something? I learned more doctrine and more truth in those church history classes than I ever heard in any class in my life. That was Ken Blinn. 20 and verse 8 now. Eson de lampidas hekine en to hiperio hu amen sina gomenoi. And there were many lamps. Many lamps in the upper room where there were... Having been assembled up in this upper room. Now verse number 9. Katholosimenos de tis neonios onomate euticus epites theridos kata pheromenos hypno bathe dialogomeno to Paulo Epi. That's a long verse. Epi Pleon katanekthes, apo tu hypnu, epicis, apo tu tristigu, kato kai erthe nekros. There was a certain young man sitting, and his name is Eutychus, upon a windowsill. Now we're up in the third story of a house, okay? And outside is cooler air and inside is hot air, and this boy is sitting right there on the windowsill. You have to realize that most of these windows didn't have glass in them, did they?
No,
they just had shutters. Now the shutter was open and the boy was sitting on the windowsill. Now he is being weighted down with absolutely exhausted. You know, sometimes when I go someplace, if I'm not moving around, if I sit down because I work so much, what happens to me, Marilyn? I just go to sleep, kablunk. I sit down, when I get still, I just go to sleep. This boy, he's weighted down with a great weight of tiredness, exhaustion. And then it says the word hypno here. What English word do we get out of this word hypno?
Hypnosis.
He's listening to Paul and he's just becoming hypnotized. And he's going into a bathe, a deep sleep. And then Paul just keeps on lecturing. Longer and longer. And this boy's having been weighted down from this hypnotic trance. And he fell. And the verb here is third person singular, secondary, indicative, active. Now, you can see in this verb, you can see action. It's punctiliar in action. The action stops. One guy in an airplane, he was a pilot, I knew him. And he taught a lot of pilots how to be pilots. His name was Robert Watts. He had trained pilots in World War II, and he took people up and they parachuted out. And he always told the boys when they were going to parachute out, make sure you pack those parachutes very well. You only have one chance. He said, it's not the fall that gets you. It's the sudden stop. Now this boy, the idea is he falls out and they see him falling out the window. And it's too late for anybody to grab him, and he falls out that third story window and he hits the ground dead. He dies from the third floor, and he falls all the way down and they pick him up. He is picked up dead. He's dead. Boy, sermons convict you sometimes. Sermons make you happy. Sometimes sermons make you sad. That this sermon here made him dead. Verse number 10 now. Katabas de ho polos, epi pason, auto kai, sim. Perilabon epen me thoro base hagar seke psyche auto in auto esten. And Paul, having come down, he fell upon him. And he just embraced him and picked him up together. Like he just put him back together. Now, when you fall out of a third story window and he hit the ground. The ground's probably pretty hard. He might have hit something else out there. Maybe there was a wall, a retaining wall, and this broke him all up. The apostle Paul picks him up, and the boy just goes back together. He just puts him back together. And he said, don't be terrified. For his soul, the soul of him, is in him. His soul is in him. Verse number 11. Anabas, de, kai, klasos, ton, arton, kai, guosomenos, f, hikanon, te, ami, lesos, akri, ages, putos, exelthane. And having gone up, and having broke bread, they're going to eat again, Marilyn. They're going to eat again. And having tasted a considerable, they had a lot to eat. And having conversed until daylight, thus they went out. And our last verse now. Egogon, de, ton, paidon, zonte, kai, para, klethason, u, metrios. And they brought the little boy. And he's alive. And they were all comforted. And unmeasurably. They were comforted a lot. They were happy. You couldn't believe how happy they were. They were just unmeasurably happy. They got to hear the preaching of God's word all night long. I don't know how many of them fell asleep, but one of them fell asleep and fell out the window. Now let's go back and go from verse number 5 on up to verse number 12. These went on ahead and were waiting for us, including Luke, at Troas. Now remember, it's been a long time since Luke and Paul have been together. The word, the plural verb that Luke is using, he did not use before, but now he uses that plural verb. But we ourselves sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, the Passover week, and in 5 days we joined them at Troas, where we remained for 7 days. Now, when they had Paul, they wanted to feast. Like I said, I preached all night, 12 hours one time. And I've said this before, but a group of our people at Valley Baptist Church, they were going to go to China. And they wanted me to go with them because they said that I could probably preach for 24 hours. And they wanted somebody there that could preach for 24 hours. Now that sounds crazy. I preached 12 hours one time, but they wanted me to preach for 24 hours. They said, you won't run out of soap. And I said, no, I won't run out of soap, but I couldn't leave that time. My daughter really needed me. She was really in dire straits when she was very young. But I told him, I said, I will put up a website. We were in the process of doing that, and you'll be able to hear me preach more than 24 hours. The first month that we had the website up, China listened for, I think it was 1,592 hours. In 1 month. They got their 24 hours. And on the first day of the week, when we were assembled together to break bread, here we go again. We, Luke. Paul discoursed with them, intending to leave the next morning, and he kept on with his message until midnight. And there were numerous lights in the upper room where we were assembled. Now what he's doing here, he's drawing the picture Now, it is hot in this room, and when you get warm, sometimes you want to fall asleep, don't you, Marilyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sharon, you get warm, you want to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that boy's warm. And it is the middle of the night. He probably would have gone to bed at 8:30 or 9 o'clock. But now it's midnight. And it says here, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting in the window, and he was just absolutely weighted down with sleep, a deep sleep, a hypnotic trance. He heard Paul preaching. As Paul kept on talking, and longer and longer and longer and longer. I used to tape all of my classes with a cassette tape. And a lot of times I would take my tape recorder in my bedroom. I studied day and night. One semester I had 32 units, which is almost impossible, but I did it. In one semester. I had a lot of classes, a lot of reading, and I would take my classes, and sometimes if I couldn't be in the class because they'd call me into another class for me to teach it, and I would sit there at nighttime and I would push that recorder on and I would fall asleep listening to whoever was speaking. But I would hear them in my sleep. I'd wake up and I'd know what they said. Mm-hmm. I was like I was in a hypnotic trance. And Paul kept on talking longer and longer and longer, and finally, completely overcome by a deep hypnotic trance, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. And Paul went down and bent over him and embraced him, saying, don't get too excited. He picked him up, put him back together, is what it says in the Greek. He just picked him up and gathered him together like he would a bundle of sticks and put him back together. And he said, he's not dead. His soul is still in him. And then it says in verse number 11, when Paul had gone back upstairs and had broken bread and eaten with them again, now they're going to have another dinner. It's breakfast time almost, or a midnight snack. And after he had talked confidently and communing with them for a considerable time longer, all the way up until the sun is up, then he departed. Verse number 12, and they took the youth home alive, and were not a little comforted, and cheered and refreshed and encouraged. Encouraged by the child was still alive, for one thing, and that Paul had preached all night. They had a lot of Bible in their heads now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine back in these times, you didn't have a New Testament. All the New Testament you got was by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't written down yet. This was written down later. Paul is up there preaching, and he's been preaching this inspired word of God, and these people are like they were there at Valley Baptist Church when you went out there and started honking the horn, Marilyn, after 2.5 hours. They were hungry. Some of them were exhausted, but they were hungry. You know, it just thrills me when I see people hunger for God's word like that. That's thrilling. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul was thrilled. And then there was a fatality, but it became a miracle, and it became encouraging to them. As they looked and they saw this boy picked up alive and put back together. You just go up three stories high and drop somebody out of a window and see what happens to them.
Yeah.
They're going to be broken up. They're going to have broken ribs, probably broken arms, maybe a broken neck, a concussion. I mean, really, they're not going to live normally. Broken arms, broken